Good morning. If you wouldn't mind turning your Bibles to Psalm 96 as we carry on looking at some of the Psalms these last few weeks. It's good to have some visitors here this morning. Welcome, family, friends. We're glad you're here. Are you glad you're here? A little bit. Yes. It's good to see the teeth. Bless you. You know, if I don't know if you were here last week, but Pete was sharing out of the psalm talking about David and Bathsheba. And if you ask me, that's got to be David at his worst. You know, if you think of David with Goliath, it's the right man at the right place at the right time. If you think of David with Bathsheba, it's the wrong man in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I often have said, that's got to be David's worst moments. And the Bible's not shy to share that. And we read about it today. And last week, whenever we read about it. But this week, it's got to be David at his best. That's sort of where I see Psalm 96. We'll read it. If you just put up that next slide. I'm sorry these slides are very small. But it's just the Psalm of David, 96. And the reason I have this slide up is, if you can see it, it's actually the exact words of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And as we read this psalm, 96, David wrote this psalm, and it's recorded in Chronicles, and it's even referred to in Samuel, but it's the whole story of them coming back with the ark into Jerusalem. And they're bringing it back, and they tried to bring it back, and they had it on a cart and these oxen. They did it all wrong, and the Lord struck them dead, those who touched the ark. And David is angry, and they said, what are we doing wrong? And then they realized they had to bring the ark the proper way, the way that God wanted it to be. And this psalm, if you look at it in the Bible, 96, its title is Worship in the Splendor of His Holiness. And so I just wanted to put that up there so that you get the reference. You want to look at the next slide. We see in Chronicles 15 and 16, it's, you know, he's talking, he says, consecrate you and your brothers so that you may bring the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place that I have prepared. Because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rule. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, and the Levites carried the ark. And then in chapter 16, if you jump into it, he says, and they brought in the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. Then when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Hallelujah. So they went from failure to complete understanding what and how God wanted to be worshipped. Does that make sense? And when they did it God's prescribed way, the way he said the rule is, a blessing came, anointing, and there was joy in the house. And that's, I had this picture this morning of joy in the house, and we've been talking about it, and we've been saying we're going to shout the devil down. And so today is bread day, so bread will be at the back later. I feel like King David, if I could hand out the loaves each, but I'm going to ask my trusty assistants to come. So what we have is raisin cakes, one for each man and each woman. My wife cooked them yesterday. Are you happy? Because I want you to remember the point of this psalm that David wrote. Thank you, trusty assistants. I'll take one too. Thank you. You'll have to get the meat from Johan later. I don't know. There's no portions of meat today. But, and you feel free to eat it whenever you want. It's almost like communion. But if it gets dry, don't blame me. But I have water here, so. They celebrated. And David handed out to every man and woman a prize. But let's read the psalm while they're doing that. You can do a couple of things at once. Psalm 96 says, oh, sing to the Lord, a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his... I'm going to take a drink right now. Woo! This party's getting wild. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. Hallelujah. If there's not something to preach right there, I don't know what is. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols. Amen? But the Lord made the heavens, splendor and majesty before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Now here's the key. If you know anything about Hebrew writing, they keep circling around and they'll get to the point and then they circle around and they kind of finish off the chapter. And the main points are often in the middle of the song, in the middle of the poem, in the middle of the writing, and they work to it and they work away from it. Here's the key for this chapter, and it fits perfectly with my sermon, so I'm so happy. No. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Amen? Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, and he starts to repeat again, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and the peoples in his faithfulness. Hallelujah. So, the command is, the challenge of this psalm is to worship God in the splendor of his beauty, to bring a sacrifice, to worship God. And so David, if he learned anything from that experience with the ark, is that God wants to be worshiped how God wants to be worshiped. God wants us to serve him as he wants to be served. And, you know, I've shared Oprah Winfrey's story and all these different ones who said, I would never serve a God that demands. But here's the trick. Here's the truth. Is God created us for a purpose. And he knows that we walk in that purpose of worshiping and serving him and doing that which God created us for. It's the best thing for us. So God is glorified. And I am most satisfied when God is most glorified. They work together because God created us. He knows what he's doing. And so David starts to get it, and he calls the Levites, and they consecrate themselves. You can put up the next slide. And I know you can't read it, but this is back in Samuel now. I'm just showing you the Psalm 96 goes back to Chronicles, relates to Samuel. It says, and Nathan said to the king, go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. This is after they brought the ark back. This is David at his best. That's what I'm trying to say. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be a prince over my people. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make you a great name. This is David at his best. This is David worshiping God and rejoicing, and the people are celebrating. They're eating raisin cakes and getting bread for free. Hallelujah. And there's big pieces of meat, and they're so happy. And if Michelle brings enough eggs, we could give eggs to everybody. I don't know. It's like they're celebrating God because they've worshiped him, and he's spoken to them. Nathan, if you remember last week, what Nathan said to David, it wasn't so good. You know, you were the man. But before that, when they're worshiping God as he needs to be worshiped, he's saying, do whatever you have in your heart. God is with you. I've taken you from that pasture and I've blessed you. And I go away before I even get to some thoughts I have. Is like, how can this be the same guy? David, a hero. David, a loser. David, a hero. It's like, but that's the reality. And God knows David from birth. He chose him. He planned from the pastures to his future. He knew David, and he calls on him to rise up and be the man of God that he's supposed to be. And when he failed, what can I say? As I said to people even last week, praying with them, fail forward, fail and get up, fail and keep on walking with the Lord. That's the only hope that we have. You heard this morning, just get up and shout the victory. You devil, I'm sick and tired of you shouting in my face. I'm sick and tired of failing. I'm sick and tired of the valley. I trust you, Lord. And I feel like the old evangelist, you know, I may look like I'm down, but I'm never down. I'm either up or I'm a getting up. It's like God is with us. And he speaks that word. Nathan this week speaks to David and he says, I'm with you. God is with you. God is for you. And if after David's mess up with Bathsheba and the whole story last week, again, God says, get up and serve me with your whole heart. And that's the message for you and me. So David at his best is this. Let's just continue with David. Put up the next one. What did David say about worship? I just want to talk for a minute about, can you read that? No. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake my glory, awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing your praises among the nations. That's David's resolve. And I was thinking of Herman because he sang this psalm. I don't know if you remember Herman singing this. Awake, awake, O... I won't even try. But awake my glory. Here's the point. You can go to the next one if you want. David's glory, what is David's glory? Here's the deal. We all have been given glory. We've all been given some. David's glory was his ability to sing. And then his he could play that harp, man, and demons would flee. He brought his gift. So what he's saying is, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name. Worship him in the Lord in the splendor of holiness. David's glory was to his power, his glory, his strength. Put up the next slide. I was hoping you could read this. True worship is a return of glory. Glory is literally translated weight, kabod in Hebrew. We give God our kabod, our weight, our glory, our all. So what he's saying is, I am going to serve you, Lord, with my whole heart. I'm going to bring my glory. I'm going to bring my weight. And if you talk about what's somebody's weight, what's your weight? Well, what would somebody describe you as? A man of God, a woman of God, a mother, a father, a singer, a worshiper, what? What would be the description of you? That's your weight. That's your glory. We all have been given, and then we bring it back. And the measure that we give it back to God, and we say, this, I with my whole heart, I'll serve you. That's true worship. That's worship to God, bringing our strength, bringing our kabod back to God. And when David saw the people, and he wrote this psalm that we're talking about this morning, 96, it was from that place of, I'm going to give God my whole heart. I'm going to serve him with everything I have. Everything. Bring your glory. Bring your weight. He was so good at it, as I said, demons had to run away. He wrote psalms and invented instruments. You go read in Amos chapter 6, verse 5. He is saying, I'm going to turn my heart toward you because I'm so desperately in need of you, but I'm awaking the best part of me, my glory. I'm going to give you my best. As I said, God gives us glory. And our worship, part of our worship is to return that to God. This is why the psalmist says, as I read, give to the Lord your mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord, give to the Lord glory and strength. Next slide, please. True worship is a return of the glory, as I said. So you yourselves, like in the New Testament now, we look at acceptable offerings. David's already talked about his weight. He's talked about bringing his best. He's talked about his whole heart serving God. So what do we see in the New Testament? Peter says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. Amen? So what's acceptable sacrifices? What do you bring? You bring your best. And next slide. I like this quote, and I quoted it last week, but I wanted it to stick in your head. Sorry for all the slides today, but I need to pound this into my heart. That's why I kept writing it down, and I want to speak it this morning. Grace does not mean you don't have to do anything. Amen? Grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning merit. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. We can't boast about being saved by grace because it has nothing to do with our best efforts. Amen? But grace empowers and fuels works in us. It enables us. There's more to grace than mercy. Mercy covers. Grace empowers. Paul said, by the grace of God, I'm not that. Amen? Grace is not just unmerited favor. It's more than mercy. Grace is the empowerment, the divine enabling to rise up and serve Him and do something and bless Him with our whole lives. So it's not just, yeah, I'm saved and I'm a worm and I'm just a flea on the back of the camel in the kingdom of God. No, we are. We're actually not even that. But by grace, we're saved. And then we rise up and we give Him our weight. We give Him our glory. We give Him everything that we are so that His name is made great in the nations, that His name is proclaimed to the, Psalm 96, tell of His wonders to the whole world. Tell everybody the goodness of God. We're told in the New Testament to bring sacrifice and to give sacrifices that please God. Amen? God's grace empowers us for every good work in Christ Jesus. Next slide. So when I come to church, I'm a priest, not a consumer. I like that line. Amen? I belong to the spiritual house because I am a living stone. I'm not alone in this salvation of mine. I'm part of the house. And we build the house with sacrifices. When I come into church, I'm on duty. I'm not here for me. I'm here for the Lord and His people. Hallelujah. That whole thinking in our Western world, and it's the Americans who always have all the surveys and get all the numbers, but you can relate it across the border quite a bit to us. They asked churchgoers, what is the purpose? Why is the church there? What's the purpose of the church? And I forget the numbers, huge, 80, 90, whatever percent, was to meet the needs of me and my family. But that's not necessarily true. We exist for our non-members. We exist to make much of God. We exist to bring Him glory in the house. And so when we worship, do I feel like dancing? No. But David commands, sing, make joyful noise, clap, use the instruments, do whatever. Like, one of the sacrifices that we bring has got to be worship. And exuberant worship, not in my heart. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be the sacrifice of praise. It's got to be the joy. It's got to be lifting up the name of Jesus. That's simple Bible teaching, that we come here to honor God. We come here for Him. We come here as ministers, as priests, not as consumers, not as those who are just waiting to see what is offered. You bring your kabod. You bring your glory. You bring your power, your weight to this meeting, to the service, to the kingdom, to a meeting like this, to the church. We are living stones being built up into a living temple to bring sacrifices. It means we're part of one another. We're part of the house. We're part of the family. We're part of the kingdom. We're part of the army. We're part of, you know, I don't want to repeat what I said a couple of weeks ago, but it's us together as we bring our weight to God. He takes it and makes a beautiful symphony. It makes a beautiful message that the whole world needs to hear of God and His glory and His splendor. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His goodness. Hallelujah. And we are the ones, you know, sometimes I think, oh Lord, if the people are depending on me to express your amazing goodness, help me. That's why I wished I could sing. Seriously, I wished I could sing. I was going to bring my guitar when I heard that, you know, this one cut his hand and that one's this, and just be ready, just in case. But nobody asked me to sing. But the reason I said I wished I could sing is I try to bring my kabod by speaking, by preaching in the gospel around the world. That's what I've done, to try to encourage people, try to challenge people, try to, and come on, you know, whatever that is, I try to bring that. But when I see someone singing and it just lifts a whole congregation or a whole crowd, or and they can sell their CDs and whatever, I'm like, man, nobody's buying these sermons. But it's like, what do you have to offer when you come into the house of God? When you come together as a living stone being built up into a temple that we are, that brings glory to His name. And, you know, He says, bring sacrifices into the temple. Worship the Lord. That's the key of Psalm 96. This is David at his best. This is David bringing everything he has. He's just been dancing. He's stripped down to his underwear, and he's dancing. You go read Chronicles and Samuel. That's what's going on when he wrote this psalm. And he's singing. They're coming into the city, and they're throwing cakes and bread around, and they're rejoicing. And he's worshiping God, and his wife despises him because he's in his undergarments. And he says, I'll become more undignified than this for whatever it takes to serve the Lord. That's David bringing his best, and we need to bring our best. Build a house with sacrifices. What do you want me to challenge you with this morning? Lift holy hands. It's like the evening sacrifice as we lift holy hands. Sing, make noise, worship, dance, make melody, giving the first fruits of our income. When we come together, bring your weight. Bring your glory. Part of it is your income. Part of it is your finance. Part of it is your best. Part of it is your life. It's what I don't know which area you want me to challenge you on. Bring God your best. It's, you know, the dumbing down of the world, the shouting of the world. I don't know what it is. The devil that we heard about in prayer this morning, shouting at people, quieting people down, putting fear into them. What? What's causing us to go quiet? Whether it's to share at work, or whether it's to sing at church, or whether it's to be generous with one another. What does the world have to do with squeezing the life out of us who serve God? We say, no, we are going to bring our best, and we're going to serve Him with it. And when we all do that, man, the raisin cakes will taste so much sweeter, and the meat will be bigger, and we'll hand out hot dogs next week. I don't know. But we'll have joy in the house of God with one another. Amen? The last slide. Some acceptable sacrifices. And I could make a long list that God's asked for. God has asked for. Okay? Did you hear that? That God has asked for. What does God require from me? What does God require from us when we come together? And I was sharing about John Finocchio and his avocado toast 2 weeks ago, how he could love his wife, because Australians love avocado toast. What's funny, this week we're chatting, and my son's wife is good friends with Nathan Finocchio's wife, who grew up in Hillsong together. They were in the were friends, the besties, whatever you want to call it. And my son's wife, she loves avocado toast, like I said a couple of weeks ago. I think that's all they eat. It's like, but what his point was is I need to love my wife how she wants to be loved, not how I want to be loved. And so I was thinking about that this week. So if we're going to worship God in the way that God asks, that God commands, actually, then we have to know what he wants. We have to know his heart. We have to know his word. We have to know what God is speaking and what he requires from us as we come together. I was thinking about Lori and I. We've been married 44 years in September. That's a long time. And I'm like, how long is it going to take me to learn to love her in the way she wants to be loved? And so I was folding clothes. Don't judge me. One time, just so you know, it's not a one-time thing. I fold a lot of clothes, especially since the kids left. And we don't have any workers like in South Africa. It's just me and her. But we're camping, and we're folding clothes, and this lady's, you know, it's one of those public laundromats. So this lady comes up, and I'm just folding the clothes, T-shirts and whatever, and she was so impressed. She's like, "You do that? You know how to do that?" And I was like, "Yeah. This is my kabod. This is my glory I'm bringing." But I don't know about your wife, but you cannot just fold a T-shirt any old way. You know what I mean? You hold it with the back, the front looking at you, the corners. You bring this side in, get the sleeve back, this side in, get the sleeve back, and then fold it in half, and you have this perfect shirt. Amen? Come on, men. You're with me. You cannot fold underpants just any old way. Hold them up, the front towards you, turn this half in, fold them in half. Good lesson, gentlemen. But if I want to love my wife how she wants to be loved, it's taken me only 44 years, maybe 40 years, because I've been doing it for some time. No, more than that, because it's since we're back in Canada. So what is God requiring from us? What does God demand from us when we come together? That we would love one another, that we would worship him in spirit and in truth, that we would walk in justice and integrity, you know? Contrite of heart. You know, he said, if I want sacrifice, if I want you to go and kill 100 cows, great. But what I want is your heart. What I want is true worship. What I want is you to come in the prescribed way, the way I laid it out. And if you just go back to that picture when David wrote this psalm and they're bringing the ark and they're so happy and the ox are pulling it and it kind of rocks and they reach over and they touch the ark and they're smitten dead. It's like, okay, we're doing something wrong here. What is it that God's requiring from us in our life? Talking with my brother Brian this week, we were chatting around. I don't even know how we got onto it, but one of his favorite verses, and I remember how we got onto it, but he was like quoting where the Bible says, they will no longer endure sound teaching. You know that scripture, talking about the church in the last days and talking about where the church was headed. They would no longer endure sound doctrine. That's not a word we like. I don't like to endure teaching. I don't like to endure just line upon line, hearing about scripture, hearing about our relationship with God, hearing about our own lives and our own sin and our own wickedness and our own need to come to Jesus and cry out to him. That's what I want is the happy stuff. And he says, but they will no longer endure sound doctrine. And it was Nicky Price or Pringle, the guy in Australia, his quote that I was listening to this week is that we don't want to do the work of the ministry. And his point of the work of the ministry is prayer. People find it's work. It's work to pray. It's work to come to the house of the Lord and bring sacrifice and bless the kids and teach the children and be faithful month after, not just for a couple of years, but for like 15 years. You want to know what breaks my heart? Is when I see parents, they get an issue or they have a struggle or they battle with something, and that's life. It happens. Trust me, it happens. But when they allow that to destroy their children's possibility for relationships in this house, I'm talking about over there, I'm talking about in this house. So children that were friends lose friends because a parent had an issue with someone or with me or with a teaching or with just a demand of coming to church to endure some soundness in their life. They step away or whatever happens. And you think, man, you've just taken 10 years of friendship of some little kids to grow up together, to become family, to know one another, to live out this Christian life for the next 40 years. I'm not talking about 2 weeks. I'm talking about 40 years of worshiping God and serving God in the splendor of His holiness and the beauty of His might and growing up in the kingdom of God. Is that okay? It's like, don't take those chances for granted. Even as Pete was saying in the prayer meeting, and Selma was weeping as she's praying, thanking God she can be in church. I'm like, wow, I'd like to have a few hundred of those, just weeping, just for the chance to be here. But that's what God's asking from us, to come into His house and to lift up His name, bring worship, bring sacrifice. And then His name should be made much of all over the earth. Hallelujah. So David, at his best, in his best moments, he says, I awake the dawn. Awake, awake my glory. I'm going to bring my best to God. I'm going to give Him everything I have. And what is God requiring from you this morning? From me? Joy, passion, money, time, goodness, repentance. I don't know. It's like, okay, God, what do you require of this house? What does God want of this house when we come together? That's on my heart. And I don't want to be like the guys dragging the cart along and getting this big old heavy thing, some stinking ox. Ever felt like that in worship? Like you just... Jeremy, have you ever looked at us and thought, I'm dragging a cartload of something here this morning? Just, it's good that people aren't even here anymore, but it was like, I won't even mention who was leading the worship at a time, and they looked down, and the guys are sitting there. And I remember in Jeremy's old church, my brother was there, and the drummer was too loud. I swear, one of these days I'm going to do it, Dan or Mikhail. And they just, this old guy, it was the Thanksgiving display. And he took a great big pumpkin and he just shoves it in the drum. And he goes like this. I think people got the message. It's a little too loud. No, but it's like, who wants to be dragging something like that along? We are called, each one of us, to bring our best, to bring our worship, bring our lives to God. And what a joy that is. What a privilege that is. Bring sacrifice. Bring life to one another in the house. Is that okay? Say amen. Say amen. Say something. Smile. Come alive. My old evangelist friend used to say, stand up and clap your hands and come alive. Till we're so tired of it. But I know for myself when I'm bringing my weight and when I'm not. And I think God's speaking to all of us, not a tiresome thing, not a whipping thing, but it's like when we understand what God wants and where you respond to Him how He wants. And there's just this moments of relationship with God, and he's speaking to us, and he's blessing us, and we're walking in something of the things of God. There's just this ease in worship, and there's this ease in the walk with God. Amen? So I'm going to invite our worship team and our sound man. We do appreciate you guys. And so I'll just go back to the Psalm 96 just for a sec. David at his best. He's telling them to sing to the Lord. And this is what he says. Ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Hallelujah. Can I encourage you, when you come into his courts, that you are ready with an offering for him, not for me, for him. What is it? Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. Like David, at his best, he understood worship. He understood what it meant to bring his heart and his soul and his mind to you. And I pray this morning that as a church, we would seek you like never before. What is it that God wants? What is it that you want, Father, for this house and for our futures and for our lives, for our children that are right now being trained and taught and encouraged, Lord? I pray, Father, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray that we would lift our hands. I pray that we would sing and make melody. I pray that we would bring our first fruits. I pray, God, that we would live our lives with passion for the kingdom of God, because you deserve the glory. And I pray, Lord, that your name would be made great in the nations because of your church and because of us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome.